As Rhythm and Blues begins at 12:45 p.m. with the Cooking Studio. Tickets are available at MahoneFund.org. Proceeds benefit the Mahone Fund Career Exploration Organization Mentoring Program.
Hello, I'm Karen Sconzert, and this is Education Matters. Today, my guests will share with you a special volunteer program in our local schools, actually two programs, Foster Grandparents and RSVP Mentoring. And so I'm really looking forward to hearing more about both of these. Our guests are Rebecca Stevens and Jeremy Moore, who both work for the Kenosha Area Family and Aging Services, Inc. How do you pronounce that? KFASI? Is that right?
Yep, it's correct.
KFASI. Okay. So Rebecca Stevens is KFASI's Project Director for AmeriCorps Seniors Retired and Senior Programs and the Foster Grandparents Program. Welcome, Rebecca.
Thank you.
And Jeremy Moore is the Program Coordinator for KFASI's AmeriCorps Seniors Foster Grandparent Program. Welcome, Jeremy.
Thanks for having me.
So please describe for our listeners, what is the Foster Grandparents Program and a little about its history in Kenosha and also the RSVP Mentoring Program?
Well, that's a great question, Karen. So RSVP is part of AmeriCorps Seniors, and so is the Foster Grandparent Program. RSVP includes a lot of different volunteer programs, but when I was hired here at KFASI, I'm in my ninth year, I was given the task to expand that program. So we went from about 15 mentors that mentor in Kenosha Unified Schools to about 70 mentors pre-COVID. We're working on rebuilding that program right now. That is a mentoring program once a week, not to be confused with the Foster Grandparent Program. It's once a week. It's a non-stipend program. It's serving in the schools one-on-one with a student 30 to 45 minutes a week. And we do a mentor match meeting. We go through a screening process, background check through KUSD, all those items that have to be done before you volunteer. Training through our RSVP handbook for mentors and other training opportunities as they present themselves in the community. For a foster grandparent, there's to distinguish the difference. I was fortunate over COVID to be able to write the grant. The grant was held by the Goodwill for many years. During COVID, they decided they would relinquish the grant. So we wrote for it. I did the application, and we found out in February of 2021 that we received the grant. That's when I reached out to Jeremy, even before I wrote it. And I said, Jeremy, I know that you ran this program. We'd love to have you join us if we get the grant. So it's been a combination of working with Jeremy over the years, just kind of, I just barely got to know him before COVID shut everything down. So it was really cool to be able to bring Jeremy on board. But really that program is a stipended program for volunteers that qualify, and it's all in school, and they do more mentoring and tutoring, but they have to do at least a minimum of 5 hours a week, and they can go up to 40 hours a week. But I'll let Jeremy tell you more in detail and some of your other questions more about the FGP program, but we really feel fortunate to be able to have this program here at KFASI, and it's a complement to our other programs through AmeriCorps Seniors, so we're really blessed to have that, and I'm happy to have Jeremy on board running the program as well. So that's it in a nutshell.
Great. So I read on the website, and then you just talked a little bit about the funding coming through AmeriCorps Seniors. So Jeremy, can you tell us a little bit more about that? And since the program is for volunteers, you know, how is that funding used? Where does it come from, and how is it used?
Sure. So yeah, the funding, it all comes from AmeriCorps Seniors, and it is a grant-based program, as Rebecca mentioned. So both of the programs, we had to, at one point, apply to have the programs, and then we have to sort of reapply every 3 years in order to sort of explain why we think the program should stay with us. And they, you know, write a grant for us based on what they feel works for each program in collaboration with us. And then the funding is used for a variety of things across the two different programs. I can speak to what my funding is used for, and then I'll pass it off to Rebecca and let her kind of mention what RSVP uses theirs for, because the two programs are so different in a way. Mm-hmm. For me, the biggest use of the funding is going to be paying the stipend of the volunteers. So all my volunteers get a tax-free stipend of $315 per hour. And what's nice about that is it doesn't affect any housing benefits, any like medical benefits, or anything that might be income specific, because it's a tax-free stipend. It doesn't affect any of that. So a lot of the volunteers see it as a bonus, simply because it's a little bit of extra money that they have that they don't have to worry about. Oh, well, you know, I'm on this and this program and this is going to affect my income. That doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But then we also can use it for things such as recruitment efforts, or we have our meetings every other month. So we bring in food. Those are some of the more general and basic uses of the funding for the program on my end.
And so clarify again, the foster grandparents is a minimum of how much time per week?
Minimum of 5 hours per week.
Okay. Is there a maximum?
Up to 40. I would say the average of my volunteers right now probably spend between 15 and 18. But I do have a couple who do spend between 30 and 40 a week.
Okay. So as we go forward, you can tell us a little bit more about how that week might look.
Sure.
Tell me a little bit more about what a volunteer does. Like, let's say somebody's listening right now and they decide to volunteer as a foster grandparent. What is the process to become one? And then what might they do on a weekly basis?
We'll start at the beginning. They would fill out an application as you would for pretty much any other job or volunteer opportunity. They send it to me and I review it, and then we meet and I just kind of sort of try to get a sense of them. Mm-hmm. And then what we do from there is they have to complete a couple different background checks. So they complete a FBI fingerprint background check, and they complete a national sex offender registry check. They have to clear both of those because they are working with kids, that those are AmeriCorps and federal requirements that they clear these background checks. And then they also have to clear the school specific background check, which if they've cleared the previous two, clearing the school one isn't a problem. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we conduct a orientation, and then they begin their in-school work. They start out with a current volunteer, because I've learned that while I can tell them all the technicals and, you know, the vagaries of what they will do, it's far more effective for them to learn from somebody who's been doing it, because I'm not the one in the schools, you know, actually serving as a mentor and a tutor. I feel that it would be a disservice to a volunteer if I tried to go through and explain kind of how to do their job. Mm-hmm. So they spend upwards usually of about 30 hours. So that's usually 2 to 3 weeks with a volunteer. And at the end of that time, we convene and we discuss, you know, hey, do you feel good about being on your own? Do you want a little extra time? And again, I leave that up to the volunteer because everyone's different. Mm-hmm. In terms of what they do with the kids, it's going to be a combination of mentoring and tutoring, as well as finding ways to incorporate if they have specific needs, which is to me something that's really special. So we'll start with there and I'll work my way back. I have one volunteer who, when she joined, one of the things she needed to get movement in her day. And that was something her doctor was like, you know, we really need to get you moving more. So she was like, well, you know, this could be a good opportunity. It's volunteering. It's with kids. And after a couple weeks, she called me up and she's like, I don't know if this is going to work. I need to get more movement. Reached out to the school she was at, let them know. And the first thing they came up with was, well, we have tons of kids who are having rough days. Let's have, you know, her take them for a walk around the building. So that was able to incorporate the movement piece that she needed. But then as she's walking these kids around the school, she's able to serve as a mentor to them, you know, finding out what's going on, why they were having a rough day, and sort of coach them through, well, how could we have handled this differently so we didn't have to disrupt the classroom and, you know, leave the room. So that's an example of like the mentoring. It's
right. And the kids need to move too. So exactly. I'm sure that's very helpful for them.
And yeah. And so that's sort of the incorporation of the two drastic different age groups coming together to find a way to make it work for both of them. Mm-hmm. And then for like the tutoring aspect, it's going to be, you know, reading, writing, those basic skills. They may have the kids read to them. They may read to the kids. Same with, you know, any other academic subject. It might be the kid serving as the teacher or them serving as like a tutor.
So we'll get a little bit more detail about that later. Rebecca, so tell us about more about RSVP and what those volunteers do and sort of that process. Jeremy sort of explained from beginning to that the part you just heard about what the foster grandparents do, but tell us about the RSVP mentoring program.
Sure. Well, it's in school and it's only in Kenosha Unified. When I wrote the grant for the foster grandparent program, it was already designated as Racine and Kenosha. Mm-hmm. So we are really working hard to get more volunteers in our Racine schools too. And we want Racine schools to be more aware of what the needs, what we have that we could offer once we get a few more volunteers in that area too. So, but yeah, it's completely different as far as the protocol because it's not a stipended program through AmeriCorps seniors. So it has different different qualifications and regulations and compliance situations than does the FGP program. So that's a little more detailed. It sounds like a lot, but it's really seamless and there's such a good process in place for onboarding volunteers. Don't let all that scare you away. It's really worth doing.
Right.
And we have so many excellent FGP volunteers already that were with the program before COVID. So that's exciting that they're coming back too. And pretty much RSVP mentors, they're one-on-one. They're mentoring, so they're totally open to working with the school to identify if there's any area and that they think this child could benefit with that mentor working with them one-on-one more. Typically, it's not tutoring. It's really helping with those social emotional skill sets and just forming friendships with in an intergenerational program, because many of our children don't have grandparents available to them. You know, people live all over the country. And so there's a lot of different things that impact our students. COVID has been a huge issue, obviously, just like everything else. So as we found after returning full-time to school, we found there are more issues with social, emotional, and some other things that are happening. And sometimes you got to clear that pathway so they can open up to learning. It's not that kids can't learn. They can. They're very capable. It's just sometimes what the counselors and social workers report back to me is that it just gave that student that extra special person in their life to make it like, hey, I'm going to school and I know today I'm going to get to spend time with my mentor for 30 to 45 minutes. And we're going to talk about things that I need to talk about. We're going to play a game. Maybe we're just going to build that relationship. So it takes a lot of the pressure off, kind of frees them up to be able to go back and learn. And our volunteers encourage them and let them know what an important person they are and how they can learn and they can grow and they can do well in school. So I think that is one of the things that's most exciting. The other piece with our program, Jeremy's with the FTP had mentioned, you know, they get assigned to a certain group and for tutoring and stuff. So we have many people that really love doing elementary school, and they call them grandmas a lot of time, and grandpas in the schools. But with our program, if our student, our parents, our RSVP mentors in the school all agree, they can follow them from grade level to grade level. We, in fact, we when we sign and onboard our RSVP mentors, we ask them for at least a year commitment. And then when I meet with them, I explain how the program can work, where if you want to follow the student all the way through high school and all of those groups are on board and everybody wants to make it happen, we can do that. And so one of the most exciting things I had a volunteer that I think she was here maybe 2 years before I came on board, and she followed her student from kindergarten all the way through high school. And then we were able to attend the graduation together. So that was super, super cool. Yeah. So those are kind of the different dynamics that we have with our program. But yeah, they're both so crucial to helping support what's going on in the schools with education.
Excellent. I'm just going to quickly reintroduce. You are listening to WGTV HDFM. I'm your host, Karen Sconzert, and this is Education Matters. This discussion of the Foster Grandparents Program and the RSVP Mentoring Program, sponsored by Kenosha Area Family and Aging Services, Inc., is archived at WGTD.org on the Education Matters page. You're invited to listen again there, or you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in a discussion there. So I just want to back up. So Jeremy told us that you can, it's a minimum of 5 hours a week, but some people can go up to 40 if they really want to for foster grandparents. Yep. Do you have a minimum, Rebecca, or a maximum for the mentoring program?
Well, actually, we do. It's between 30 to 45 minutes per week and per student. But that doesn't stop. We have volunteers. I have one lady that's had 10 different students in multiple schools all at the same time. So it's, I'm like, how do you keep track of your schedule? But she's amazing and she loves mentoring and the kids respond so well to her. Now, mind you, some of them are at one, more of them are at one school than another, but she tries to follow them from the time she starts to the time, if they don't move out of the district, if everybody's still on board, she will follow them and she does a tremendous job with it. So yeah, it is, but most of her, I do have one person at one of the schools, a gentleman that I onboarded shortly after I began here, and he does his, all his mentoring in one day. So he's got about, he's one as high as seven students. And I'm like, how do you do that? I'm exhausted. Because I do a follow-up and I do once a year visits with them in person at the schools whenever possible. And it's really fun to watch how the relationship grows and changes, because that's part of our program too, that follow-up visit and the yearly visit. But the first time I went back after COVID, I was exhausted and I said, I'll have to catch your afternoon students later in the year. So yeah, it really depends on how many, what kind of time commitment and how they want to work their schedule, but we can match them for sure. That's not a problem.
So I guess I'm just thinking as a listener and someone who's approaching the age where I might be considered a senior, like what, how do you define who's eligible? Is there like a lower age limit, or is it just anyone who's retired, or how does that work?
Great question. So it's called Retired and Senior Volunteer Program, and FGP has the same qualifications for an AmeriCorps Seniors program. So it's 55 and up. So I was like, oh, when I started, I said, I'll age into my, and I'll be able to volunteer in my own program soon.
Right.
It's great.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Yes. So I'm curious also, just as somebody who works in the schools preparing new teachers, I'm just trying to imagine like what part of the school day are the students free? Did they just get pulled out of classes, or is there a certain designated time of day that's, you know, or is it different for every school and every classroom?
Yeah, at one point it was in 28 schools, and pretty much every school had their own approach to it. But the value added, what we try to do is not take them out of anything academic, obviously, especially if they're struggling in that subject, because we don't want them to miss out on those learning opportunities to reinforce and relearn and grow in those areas. But a lot of times it's at lunchtime, or it's at a time where they would have a special, so to speak, that they see the benefit, the counselors and the social workers and the principals see the benefit of making that part of their weekly visit. So yeah, it works out really well.
You said you work in lots of different schools. Which schools are they? I mean, maybe it's too many to list, but.
Yeah. Well, at this point, I don't have the list in front of me, but I'll say we work at elementary, middle, and high school. And we currently have students in each school, school level. And that expands, but we're at Lincoln, we're at Bolin, we're at Bradford, we're, you know, just, and then Harvey and Bose. It's across the board, Brass, just every school. Grevenau is one of our schools that we've done a lot with over there, and then following them on through to a lot of those students go to Lincoln, Southport. Yeah, the majority is elementary, and that's where we get the start. And then if they want to follow, then we go into the middle and the high school. And we also do training for those different ages and stages, so that, because sometimes volunteers are like, well, what am I going to do at a middle school level? So we offer those trainings to support that transition if it all works out. Washington, I can go on and on with the schools that we've been in, but yeah, it's awesome.
Is there ever any restriction, like are people allowed to be a mentor at the same school maybe where their own grandkids attend, or do you try to avoid that, or does it not matter?
Yeah, no, and typically that doesn't matter, pretty much, because they don't cross paths with the mentors necessarily. So yeah, I know that. I'm trying to remember if I've had anybody that did that. I can't remember. I don't think so yet. But yeah, it would. I can't see it as being an issue because it's totally separate,
right,
from
so,
what's
going on. So I'm just curious, like, what are the numbers that we're talking about here? How many are in foster grandparents and how many are in RSVP mentoring? I'm sure it varies, and maybe the numbers are off now because of COVID, but what?
Yeah. Well, pre-COVID, we were up to 70 for the RSVP mentoring program. That's dropped down to about 21 active last year. And Jeremy and I both, we have worked on this over the last couple of years, just working for a year and a half for the really looking at what is the safety, what are the safety issues, what's the best way to reintroduce our volunteers. So fortunately, about the third week of October last year, we were able to get a start. So that really helped. And we had several returning, we had like 21 returning volunteers at that time. Now this year, we're hoping to bring back even more of our volunteers that were in the schools for the RSVP mentoring program. FGP, our last count was right around, I think, 15. Is that correct, Jeremy?
Right now I have 12 volunteers, but pre-COVID I had about, I think it was 31 or 32. So you can really see how much, just as it affected, you know, the world for everyone, and it affects these programs as well.
So if you happen to be listening to this and you're thinking, huh, I was looking for a volunteer opportunity, just so you know, we are going to list at the end of this the information how to volunteer, but also I'll link to it on our Education Matters Facebook page, so you can find it there. But if you just want to look it up, it's if you look up KAFASI, KAFASI, and then maybe say Kenosha in your Google search, you'll find it that way too. That's how I found it. So this sounds like lots of opportunities. So I know when we were exchanging emails to set up this interview, you both included in your original biography that you shared with me something about the about mentors in your own lives. So Jeremy, why don't you start and tell us a little bit about what attracted you to this work? You know, what have the experience have been with grandparents or mentors in your own life? And then Rebecca, you can answer that same question too. So
how I got into this was kind of, in a way, just dumb luck. I had been, as Rebecca had mentioned earlier, the program was previously held by Goodwill Industries in southeastern Wisconsin, and I had worked there for about 10 years. The first 7.5, I had been in retail management, and I was, as I think anyone who's ever worked in retail, had hit that point of burnout where I was just like, I cannot do this anymore for multiple reasons, but I wanted to stay within the company if I could. And they had an opening for this specific program, and I applied, and they brought me on. And then 2 years later, COVID hit, and I was removed because they ended the program. But as Rebecca mentioned earlier, that, you know, Kafasi and I had been in contact basically as soon as they found out that the program was ending. So it's kind of all been this weird series of events that I never expected to be here, but knowing who I am as a person, like, it makes perfect sense as to why I'm here. I like to be behind the scenes, but I like to know that what I'm doing is a benefit for the greater good. I'm not necessarily, I would never consider myself like a front lines type of person. That's just not the skill set I have, but I can make sure that the people who are those people are able to achieve what they want to get out of whatever they're trying to get. So,
cool.
I don't know if that makes sense.
I think it makes sense. Rebecca, tell us a little bit about your journey into this work.
When I sent in the bio, I just reflected a bit on what my work is, and part of my work, obviously, I'm passionate about students and students being mentored, and I know the reason I am is because I had positive mentors in my life, and I know how to be a good mentor because after you've been mentored by very good people, you pick up those talents and those traits that they have and the way that they approach situations. And I think that one of the most important things we can do for all of our children in our community is offer them that intergenerational extended piece of care so that they know that, you know, you can go through rough times and you can, as a child, experience things that are completely out of your control, because a lot of times the adults are making these decisions. And let's face it, not all adults are the best at making certain decisions. They're, you know, it takes them off guard. It's not an easy job to be a parent. It's not an easy job to be to do this work either. But what we do, and I've worked the first time I began mentoring was actually with the CABA program back at McKinley Elementary when I worked there. And the reason I included that in the bio too is because I want everyone in the schools to know how important it is for you to become mentors if you can in your time frame, in your schedule. I was fortunate where I worked a job as a homeschool liaison, and I saw the needs, and we saw the students that needed that additional support. So I was able to become a mentor at that level. I think, you know, that's a good source, and we need all the people that can help us in the schools with the possibilities for, like, the foster grandparent program. As I mentioned, immediately when I found out what was going on with the program, I called Jeremy, are you willing to come on board and bring whoever you can along with you so we can get a good start? And I thought it was a good testament to Jeremy that he had as many people that came on board with him. But that's because those relationships are built. And so that's what we're doing continuously in this work. We're working on relationships. And my relationships in my life that have helped move me forward are people like my grandpa, who is actually our landlord. He was our adopted grandfather. He was an amazing man, very simple, but cared tremendously. And especially with you come from a family of 9 kids, and I was at the bottom with my 2 younger sisters. We were on the younger end. So it was like, he just took us under his wing, and he was just, it was like, you know, you had a grandparent. And so I guess it's made me really, it's made me a better person. It's made me more aware of the needs. It's made me more capable of making those connections. And then again, as an adult, I went on through different opportunities. I had a mentor that I worked with when I had applied for the grant. You write the grant for what you're going to do, but when you turn up, you make it operational. I was offered a mentor, and she worked with me, and I, you know, talked to her. Well, how did you do this? What did you do with the foster grandparent to make it operational? And so those are the kinds of things that I find extremely helpful, and I hope that I always continue to have great mentors in my life, and I hope that we can reach out and just build the connections we need to continue building these programs and making them stronger, not just to meet our goals, but to meet the needs. And the needs are great in our community.
Let me do a quick reintroduction, and then I have a few more questions, and then we're almost out of time, believe it or not. So you're listening to WGTD HDFM. I'm your host, Karen Sconzert, and this is Education Matters. This discussion of the Foster Grandparents Program and the RSVP Mentoring Program, sponsored by the Kenosha Area Family and Aging Services Incorporated, is archived at WGTD.org on the Education Matters page. You're invited to listen again there, or if you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in a discussion. So you mentioned a few times about COVID. So I know there probably are some challenges, and I'm sure you've thought about safety for both the kids and the grandparents. But I'm wondering if there are new needs that you see. Do the kids need the foster grandparents and the mentors more? I mean, we were all isolated and still are in some ways. So what are some of the ways that maybe these two programs can work to help kids overcome some of the deficits they might have?
Yeah, that's a great question, Karen. I mean, it just as an adult, I think we felt that disconnect too. Even though we can Zoom and do these types of things, I think it's been a disconnect overall. So the needs have definitely grown in our schools, and I hear it from our counselors and our social workers and our principals all the time. So we're working on trying to recruit more volunteers for both of our programs. And we really want to hit those targeted goals, but we want to go beyond that because we know the need has increased. And a lot of the kids, you know, something as simple as just having that extra person in your life that's like your special person, especially with the younger kids, can really help. And we know mental health issues have gone up for a lot of the for everyone, but kids in general too. And so just, it really helps to have that extra person, just like as an adult, when I need to talk to somebody about an issue, you know, I can talk to them and I can have that support. So I definitely have seen a change in the need that we have. So yep, that's why we're trying to reach out in every way we can.
So I would just, you know, looking at this from the outside, would say that you probably have listeners right now who are thinking, oh, maybe it's time for me to get back into whatever I was doing, or maybe this is a new thing that I can add. So the program might meet some of your needs, sort of like Jeremy described at the beginning, somebody who had need for movement and was able to incorporate that into the foster grandparent experience. You might have needs that will also help the kids. Everybody's has these needs after this period of isolation. Is there anything that you do to, for now, to keep people feeling safe? Is there, you know, do the foster grandparents wear masks? Do you have a Zoom option for the mentors? Yeah. What are some things that you've been able to do? Maybe Jeremy can say for the foster grandparents that's worked out.
So how I've tried to operate it is that, so I'll start with like the masks. I've left it up to them to be what they're comfortable with. Because I don't want to open any cans of worms there if for some reason they aren't. But safety has always been one of my biggest, I would say, hesitations in them returning to schools. And Rebecca will attest to this, that I have tracked the county data for both Racine and Kenosha every single week from the CDC since last July. So like I would be able to graph out exactly all of the spikes and, you know, valleys of where we've been through this long, long process of COVID. And in terms of, that kind of answers that because we've just only been recently able to get back into schools.
Right.
We planned to be back in October, and then most of the schools were like, let's wait until after, you know, holiday break. And then right after holiday break, right, we had that huge spike and everything closed down. And it's just been a lot of being flexible with what can we do, what can't we do. I have previous volunteers who want to return, but they have underlying conditions, so they're still kind of waiting it out. And it's just, you know, me being understanding that, okay, that's what works best for you. And that's what I'm here to make sure happens, is what works best for you.
Anything to add to that, Rebecca?
Yeah, I just, Jeremy and I have just kept constant watch over the weekly reports that I get from our local health department, and he's been tracking everything. I think it's just a matter of a comfort level and where your health is too. And we know seniors can be more susceptible to germs that could potentially harm them. So we've been tag teaming that the whole time. Jeremy does, he's got it well documented, but I was very supportive of how he felt he should do that too, because he knows his volunteers very well, the ones that he's worked with at least before he came on board. And I think it's just been really open communication. We were able to go back in. A lot of my volunteers were ready to go in October, and so we were ready to go with them as well. I will say I had a reunification over at Frank Elementary with a mentor and mentee last week. And it was a little boy that was in kindergarten. And my mentor wore a double mask. He's a retired nurse. And he said, "I hope it's not offensive." I said, "Absolutely not. You have to do what you're comfortable with." And we know that in people's homes, they may live with someone who's more susceptible to getting ill. So we support their decision-making process. But I have to say the mask didn't bother the little boy one bit. We were able to walk down to the classroom. We got to the door. The little guy saw him. Mind you, he was with him in kindergarten, and now he was so happy that his mentor was coming back in first grade. And he got up and ran across the room and gave him the best hug. I wish I could have had a video camera on him. It was just precious. So yeah, we support our volunteers with what their decisions need to be around the COVID issues, and we just work that out with them.
Great. So again, for listeners who are interested in doing this, it sounds like there's a great amount of flexibility and paying attention to what your needs are. So
actually going to say one of the reasons it's one of the differences between the two programs. And I think that's the reason why I had, not to say that Rebecca didn't have caution, because I think we have the same amount of caution. Whereas her volunteers do all one-on-one work, mine are directly in the classroom.
Yeah.
So that's a big component of, for me at least, the letting them be more sort of the the guide of what they feel comfortable with, is because when Rebecca's, you know, a mentor comes in and she's with, they're with one student, mine might be around 28 in the one classroom. And if they're in three classrooms, that's that many more opportunities to potentially be exposed to something. And as Rebecca said, you know, they're all older. They all have their own different, you know, life paths and what they are able to tolerate. So it's, that was where I think some of my overabundance of caution came from, is just wanting to make sure that everybody was as safe as possible and they still felt that they had the say in what they were doing. So
okay, yeah, so safety first.
Safety first, right. So we only have about 2 minutes left. So I do wonder if you can each tell a really brief story about a success for either your volunteers or your students or both that happened anytime during the program. So Rebecca, let's start with you. And we have to do about 1 minute per person.
Okay, I'll try to be quick. So we were able to do a promotional video for RSVP mentoring because we did have some carry forward money left over from our previous grant, because we couldn't spend as much in COVID. So I've got a great video. And in that video, you'll see, I'll share that with you if you can connect it.
I'll put it on the Facebook page. That'll be great.
Wonderful. And it's just awesome because you see Harriet, and she actually, her mentee actually wanted to be in our promotional video. And you get to hear from the mentor and the mentee and two other mentors as well. And it's just excellent. But in a minute, I can't tell you the whole story, but it started in first grade over at Harvey, and now they are at Bradford. So it's just a great story.
Great. Jeremy, do you have one that you can share?
Yeah. So I would say all of my volunteers are going to have a different sort of success, if you will. But the one I hear most often from people is when they are like out shopping and they're out at a grocery store, and one of the kids that they worked with, or it could just be one of the kids who was in the classroom that they didn't directly work with, runs up to him and gives him a huge hug while their parents are looking on like, what are you doing? Who is this stranger you're hugging? And then the volunteer gets to meet the family, because they, of course, are going to go up and be like, who are you hugging? Why are you hugging this random person? And they're like, no, this is grandma, or this is grandpa.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
And then they get to sort of not only meet, they've already met the child, but they get to meet the family, and the family gets to meet the volunteer. And it's just this really full circle sort of moment, I would say, for everyone.
Excellent. So Rebecca, can you follow up by just telling them, how can people volunteer? What's the phone number? What's the website? What's the best way if there is?
Sure. The best way is to email us directly, actually. I think that's the quickest way to get Jeremy and I.
What's the email?
Got it. Jeremy is jmoore, M-O-O-R-E, and it's at Kafasi, KAFASI.org. And I'm at rstevens, STEVENS, at Kafasi.org. I think that's the best way to reach us. The phone number, direct phone number here at Kafasi, you can always call that number, 658-3508, extension 115. And Jeremy, could you tell your cell phone number?
Yeah. And if you need to get a hold of me via phone, it's 262-287-7295.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's great. I will put all this information into the Facebook page and also on the archive page for Education Matters. But I want to thank our guests, Rebecca Stevens and Jeremy Moore of the Kenosha Area Family and Aging Services, Inc. You can listen to this again in case you tuned in the middle. It'll be archived at wgtd.org on the Education Matters page, or also join us on our Facebook page, WGTD Education Matters. This is Karen Sconzert, your host, and I thank you all for tuning in and listening to this amazing program. Thank you so much. to our guests.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard Saturday mornings at 10:30 here on WGTD. Archive programs are available on our website at WGTD.org. A special notice from the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar. Because of the potential for showers and storms, Kenosha's Harbor Park Jazz, Rhythm, and Blues Festival has been moved indoors with the same schedule and features. The event will now be held in the Bradford Fieldhouse.
Supporting WGTD is the Bristol Renaissance Fair, carrying you back to 16th century England with huge turkey legs, ale, wine, feasting, and nonstop entertainment on 13 stages and in the village streets. Open Saturdays and Sundays through Labor Day. Online at renfair.com.
This is WGTD.